Good morning, everyone. And as we gather here this morning, many of us are here with a heavy heart because there are sad news and tragedies happening all around us. And we just heard about the passing of Wei's father. It's never easy, it's always difficult to lose someone who is close to us, especially when it comes all of a sudden. We look around the world and see that the pandemic is still raging on, although we have news, okay, and we have some kind of reopening and easing of restriction in Ontario and in Canada. We hear about the news of war, and while we are gathering here, sitting in safety, security, and comfort, there are people at this very moment who are maybe shivering in a bomb shelter. Maybe they don't even have heat, electricity, or water. They might not even be sure where the next meal is coming from. And all this is happening around us, and let us ask this question: how come there is so much evil and tragedy? And this is where our faith and hope really kicks in. How we answer that question reflects who we are. Are we a people of faith, a people of hope? Or are we a people of despair, a desperate people? Because the two kinds of people will react to tragedy in a totally different way. Yes, pain is inevitable. Yet, suffering is not the only course of action. As we come together and pray for each other, to support each other, we must realize that it is not just simply encouragements of, it's okay. Get over it. Let the days go on. Stay calm and carry on. It must go into a deeper level to realize that we are a people of faith and therefore a people of hope. And because of that, we have a heavenly vision to look forward to. And in that case, no suffering, no uncertainty would make us do desperate acts. And when we pray to God, we know He listens. And He will take care and He will provide. So let us pray in faith and in hope. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. Help us, O Lord, and have mercy. Because when we look around us, although sometimes some tragedies and despair seems to be distant and far away, although we don't have to suffer the pain of war and rumors of all war right in our midst, and yet, we are not insulated from tragedy. We just heard the news of a brother who have lost a father. And the family have to deal with this tragic incident, event at this moment. But although losing a loved one is always painful, there's always the comfort, not the empty comfort of the days will go on, but rather the comfort that God is with us. And therefore, we need not fall into despair. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. I am the life and the resurrection. And this is what we hold on to. A piece of dry bean might look like it is devoid of life. And yet, when we water it and put it in the soil, it will sprout again, reminding us that the vitality of life is strong. And in God, because we have faith and hope, we are a resilient people. Nothing can break us. Nothing can crush us. Because the Lord our God, the Lord of hosts, is the one who we worship and the one who we call our Father. And when our Father is here with us, who can harm us? When our Father is here to say he loves us and have mercy on us, we know we are in his embrace. And it is a place of comfort and security. And nothing can shake us from this high place. And so we pray, help us to hold on to this faith. Help us to hold on to this faith in this time of desperation. Let us hold on to this faith in the time of disappointment, of challenges, of setbacks, of tragic events. Because we are your children and you are our Father. And so we pray this in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. Last time when we were here, we talked about how God created a paradise and placed human beings in it. And in this paradise, we have all that we need to be joyful and happy. In the paradise, all our appetites would be satisfied. There would never be short of food, drinks, all the basic comforts that we really truly need. And God created companionship for Adam so that the man and the woman can be together and support and supplement each other. In the company of the two, they have found the fulfillment. As Adam declared, "You are the blood of my blood and the flesh of my flesh. You are, we are one." And because of that, human was set to be placed in a paradise with boundaries, with structure, which helped their life really to be more fulfilling. But when God provided all this for the human beings in paradise, those are not the most precious things. There is something even more precious than all that. It is when God created human beings, he created them in his likeness and his image. And because of that, human beings are different from other creatures in the entire cosmos. Sometimes when we gather together, we wonder, what is it that would make us happy? Everyone seeks happiness. And the Declaration of Independence actually declares that the pursuit of happiness is a human right. And yet, at the same time, we see so much unhappiness, so much sadness around us. Because somehow, although we are living in a fairly secure world, we are living in so many sense the most advanced state of our civilization. And yet, people are not happy. there's a whole industry out there which promotes to the desire of happiness. Every time we turn on the TV, open up a magazine, turn on any web page, there would be something called advertisement. An advertisement is an enticement. It's somebody's message to say that if you consume something, accept certain ideas in this way, then the promise is that you will be happy. And yet, we are not. Most of us would be so rich when we have the comfort and the provision of kings. If we ever go back to, let's say, the Middle Ages, if you take somebody out from the Middle Ages and put them into one of the poorest neighborhoods in our society, they would say, wow, this is a palace. You got running water. You get flushable toilet. You got hot water on demand. You got a climate control environment. How fortunate could we be? And yet we are not happy. Because we are simply animals. If we have only animal appetite, if our nature is simply a hairless ape, then yes, in that sense, all this provision, all this good stuff around us should make us so happy. And yet, we are not, because we are not simply an animal. And sometimes, nowadays, we even preach this message that we are either a psychological animal or a sexual animal. If we fulfill our psychological needs, if we get enough entertainment, if we get enough esteem, if we can somehow boost up our self-image and say to ourselves, I am okay, I am beautiful, I am the greatest in the world, somehow that would become true. We think that if we can find our companions and satisfy ourselves in a certain sexual manner, then we have fulfilled our purpose as a human being. But the Bible said that is not the case. We are created as a distinct creature, that we have the likeness and the image of God, which means we have a spiritual dimension, some appetite which cannot be satisfied otherwise. It can only get its satisfaction from its very source, the Lord Most High. And St. Augustine described it as that we have a God-shaped emptiness in our heart, in our soul, that can only be fulfilled in this manner by God. And our unhappiness, our sadness, our tragedy orientates from the fall of the humankind. And as we have just read from the scripture, this is how it happened. The full potential of human being as a spiritual being has been sabotaged, devastated, when we make a wrong choice, when we choose not to live according to our spiritual calling. To be created in the image and the likeness of God is a double-edged sword. Yes, we are smarter. Yes, we are on the top of the food chain. Yes, in so many ways, we are intellectually and spiritually ready. We have the potential to become the greatest of all, the best of all creation, the best of all possible creation. And yet, in order for us to exercise, to come into this fullness of our potential, God give us this particular feature called freedom of choice. In order for us to be in the image and the likeness of God, to mature, to grow into the likeness of God, God give us this freedom of choice so that we can will, we can choose just like Him. But this is a double-edged sword, because if we choose right, then we realize our full potential and we live in the so-called logos, the law, the way, the truth of God. But if we choose unwisely, then we live in this other dimension, the cursed state. So when the devil, when the person, the snake who tempt people, they have to try to target the one weakness of human being. We don't know for what reason, what motivates the snake to do this. Very often we stated jealousy, we stated a competition of supremacy in the so-called created order. Who is greater? The angels, even though they are fallen, or human beings? Who do God love more? Maybe it's just simply something like this. We cannot truly understand the snake's motive, but we know his ways. And his very way to worm itself into the human heart is something we truly have to watch out for. Because when we read the story, as we have just read, the snake did not change or destroy the human environment in paradise. He did not threaten to take away comfort or security. Because if they did that, that means he's acknowledging or saying that humans are a kind of, like we said, a hairless ape, simply an animal. The snake knows we are more than that. And that's why he knew a threat, a temptation, simply to entice or give more comfort is pointless. Because human beings are fully satisfied in paradise. In that state, they have no shortage. They have no greater need. They are living in perfect comfort and safety. What more can you give them? He did not threaten to change the human relationship. He did not try to break up Adam and Eve. Because if he tries to do that, they are trying to say that the fulfillment of human being focus and center on this perfect completeness of human relationship. The snake or the devil knows that is not the case. They enjoy each other. The companionship of the two make them stronger and help them to grow as human beings. But that is not the center of their life. The snake attacked them in the one most vital area that determines whether they're going to live a happy life or an unhappy one. It is the attack on the relationship with God. It is to make them to cast the doubt about just what is the likeness and the image of God in you. You see, when we are born with the likeness and the image of God, that means only one thing truly resonant with the perfection, the source of happiness, and that is from God. If this image and likeness is active in us, then only God's news, only God's word, only God's presence, only His fullness can resonate with this inner voice, this inner heart, this inner spirit. That is the only voice, the only rule, the only principles which we can say yes to and enjoy. I wonder whether that is the enjoyment of our life. What makes us click? What makes us truly say, yes, this is great. I had a wonderful day. I had a wonderful moment because you have just tasted the greatest cheesecake in the world. That's nice, I suppose. But that is not the fullness of happiness. It might keep you happy for a couple hours. And then you want more. How many times have we said to ourselves, what are we going to eat in our day? We had a great lunch. Great. What's for dinner? We had a great dinner. That's great. What show should I watch after dinner? That kind of appetite never truly satisfies us. Its demand is endless. But do we ever have a moment when we somehow get in touch with the greatness of God? When we truly get to a moment when we say, yes, I get a glance, an idea, a touch, a spark of God's presence in my life. And it was so fulfilling that my heart bursts out in joy, that I cannot help but sing praises. I cannot help but fall on my knees and pray. I am stunned. I'm lifted out of myself because I suddenly realized the fulfillment of my life does not center in here, but is something that would bring us beyond ourselves. We're always looking for something that happens outside of the box. And this is exactly it. Not only outside of the box, but way out of the ballpark. Way out into the heart of the entire universe. When your smallness, our insignificance, is not impressed simply by vastness, simply by dimension, but by the depth of spiritual riches. Is that what we long for? Because too often it is not. The entire culture, the entire world, together with the snake, would like to cast doubt on this very desire. And that's exactly what happened in paradise. The snake seek to cast doubt into the relationship of between man, human, and God. It casts doubt to the nature of the image and likeness that is in our soul. The snake first said, can you eat all this fruit from all the trees? The first doubt is, do you even know what God wants from you? Well, for that test, okay, the woman passed, okay, with flying color. Yes, we can eat almost everything except the two boundaries. The two greatest things that God have reserved for our future, something for us to grow into, something for us to mature and get ready for. And when he said, but those things we cannot eat and we cannot touch, she simply saw it as a rule, as a boundary. Now we suddenly see that this image of God that is inhuman, it is not perfect yet. It is in so many ways in a state of innocence. They simply know it like a kid. I cannot touch that. If I touch that, somebody will speak to me in a very, very strong and firm voice, and I will be afraid. Wow, that is the first step. When evil, Satan, knocks on our door. The Bible describes this freedom of choice. Describe the moment when Christ come to knock on our door and how we would respond. We would open the door. Yes, the old joke, knock, knock, who's there? We have to answer that question. Knock, knock, who's there? And if it is Christ, we open up the door and welcome him into our life. We set him down with us for meals, to have this sharing of relationship. And then our life would be great. But if we answer that knock knock joke, and it is the snake, then what do we do? Of course, we will be cautious. But the snake simply do not say, I am the snake and I'm here to curse you. In that sense, no one is going to fall for it. What the snake said to us is to cast a doubt. How do you understand your relationship with God? Is God selfish? Is God trying to keep you away from the best thing that is in the world? And whatever you don't have is always the best thing in the world. Isn't that true? All of us are striving for something. Something great, something small. Your doctor said, you should not eat sweet anymore. And suddenly, dessert becomes the most enticing thing to us. Most of you have not got to that age yet. But there would always be people who caution us to say, this is what you should do, this is what you should not do. And if someone tells you to restrain yourself, don't think about a certain things, then you'll think about it more and more. They actually did a psychological experiment, apparently in Harvard. And it is in a class. When the professor asked the students to say, for the next 50 minutes in this lecture, don't think about polar bear. Huh? Why is it that somebody think about polar bear? And yet, because the professors have mentioned this, don't think about polar bear. After class, when they make a survey, they say that most people, the only thing they got away from that lecture is polar bear. And that somehow is human nature, the fallen human nature, that manifests it more and more in a greater and greater sense. With the image of God, when people should realize that what they need, What would give them satisfaction? What is closest to their heart and soul is God. It's the very name, the very nature, the very fullness of God. And yet somehow, the snake managed to cast this hint of doubt. You sure you really know God? And I think many of us have had that noise, that voice in our heart and in our soul. Do we really know God? Yes, we have been Christians for many years. We know our scripture. We know our Sunday school stories. We sing hymns every Sunday. And yet, do we really know God? Would God allow a child to suffer? Would God allow you to suffer this setback in your life? How come God did not prepare what you deem as the best, the one thing that you need in your life? And seemingly God have denied you that. Maybe God is a miser. Maybe God is selfish. Maybe he only cares about his glory. Maybe God wants to make us to be the butt of his joke. Have we ever have thoughts or voices like that in our soul? I must say that's almost like natural. Because this is who we are. We are easily swayed because we truly don't know God well enough. Our image of God and our likeness of God has become idle, innate, inert. It doesn't even respond or resonate to God's voice anymore. And very often we don't have the faith, we don't have the hope, we don't have the conviction or the assurance that God is with us. And that's why even in churches, sometimes we compromise and compromise and compromise. We cannot talk about salvation because people don't like to hear about sin. We cannot talk to people and tell them and let them know what is wrong in their life because that would be shaming. That would cause hurt and pain. Well, sometimes that is necessary because we have to know what is wrong with us before we can address what is wrong in us. And we need redemption. And we need to be changed, to be transformed, to transcend our simply physical needs of these finite days. We need something more, much more. The snake appealed to the woman and the man. Sense of doubt, because it somehow confirms a certain reservation in the human heart. And yes, when people say you can cast an idea, you can frame an idea and put it into people's head, and that is one of the most powerful instruments to manipulate people. It is true, except it only works when that idea resonates with something, with some kind of reserve doubt that we already have in us. If somebody say to us, God is not good, yes, that is the title of a book. Do we ever say, is God truly good? People would pile on all kinds of, they call empirical evidence that God is not good. That God demands dominance. That God wants people to worship them, force people to worship him. And we hear that kind of thing all the time. That God would keep us from growing up to be free from our restraint, from our limitations, to be free from God. And that's what the so-called culture is trying to sell us every day. Yes, we hear the voice of the snake all the time. But we don't have to succumb or submit ourselves to that. The woman listened, and it stirred up that little bit of doubt, emptiness in her. And she was enticed by an idea. No, not so much that the forbidden fruit is so great. And yes, forbidden fruit always tastes great. Even a certain top brand in the world will show you a bitten fruit. Yes, that is the answer to all your questions, to all your needs. Taste this fruit, and a new world opens up to you. That was the enticement. And this new world promise that you can be like God. And because we have the image and the likeness of God, somehow that almost seems like an attractive thing. We know, we have an idea of what this fullness of God is. And we try to process it for myself, to call it my own, to put it in my pocket, and to dress up ourselves, to label ourselves as God. Because that was, seems to be the ultimate fulfillment. God said, no. This is where the fall happens. Because of that, humans lost it all. We want to be like God, and we invite shame into our life. The forbidden fruit opened up a new world of reality, a new perception of shame. And when men and women look at each other, they suddenly realize that they are naked. And for the first time, it is true, they become the naked ape. They no longer have that aura of divine reflection from God in their life. And that is the source of our unhappiness. No matter how much we try to overcome that, we cannot. And that's why we need something else. Today is Communion Sunday. Why do we celebrate communion? Why do we come before this table month after month? It is because here, God gave us the promise that our life can be, for us to maybe easier to understand, I would use the word reinvented. But it goes way beyond that. We're recreated. When Christ said, this is my body, this is my blood, you are now created in the likeness and the image of God once again. But this time it's much more thorough. We are the blood of his blood, the flesh of his flesh. And like the first human said, the two are now made into one. We are one with Christ, and therefore we are one with God. Through Christ, we come into the full presence of God. Through Christ, our image and the likeness of God now can be fully grown and mature and realized. We just have to wait. We just have to have the patience to weigh it through. And that promise will realize itself. And we have the assurance in the resurrection of Christ. Life is now eternal. even when we are separated by something which seems so final, like death. That's not it. That might be our perception if we restrict our eyes, restrict our vision to this world. Christ said, let's look beyond that. There's something else out there. There's something else in here. There's something else in here. All of us who believe and have been baptized, and that's why we open the communion table to those who have been baptized, is because we declare to the world, I have died and have been buried and have been resurrected with Christ, and this is who I am. I am a Christian. I am one who is born in the image and likeness of Christ. And that's even better than to be born as a descendant of Adam. Well, that wasn't good at all, but we actually have to overcome that and receive this new being. And every time when we come before this communion table, we remind ourselves that we are this new being and we should live as this new being. So let us pray. Let us celebrate the communion table together. And let us praise God for what He has prepared for us. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. And we thank God for giving us the secret to happiness, to joy. Because in the body and the blood of Christ, we receive this new life. We put away the old and take on the new. We are a new being who is born in God. And now, the image and the likeness of God, we can actually hope for its maturity, its full realization in the coming kingdom. It's more than paradise there. Because before they have all the food they can eat, all the comfort, all the security, but in the future, we have the presence of the glory of God. And help us to enjoy that forever. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Christ Jesus. Amen.